Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, praise God, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. We've been covering the subject of what Paul was saying. He said he went into labor again, hoping that God's people would begin to develop Christ in them. And the Bible's very clear that developing Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that word glory. In the Old Testament, it talked about the glory being the presence of God coming down. But when you switch over into the New Testament, the glory has changed. And it went from coming down to what comes out of a person in the form of character and nature. And that's why it's so important to understand what it means to be formed into His image and not conformed by the process of this outward world. Actually, the word conformed means to no longer be shaped by this outward natural realm. Don't let it shape your way of thinking. Don't let it shape the way that you do things or the way you say things. Change. And it's not easy. Change is not easy, especially for us. It's easy for us to see somebody else that needs changing. But it's harder when we focus on us for the changing. Now we're going to learn something about Satan's kingdom and how he has designed his operation to undo God's people. You don't hear too much teaching along this lines, especially on a Sunday morning, because some pastors are afraid to let some information out because they don't want to run the people off. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a good runner-offer. He'll run you off. And if it takes a minister to do it, you better think twice. Hallelujah. One of his prize trophies, Satan's prize trophies, I've seen it in a vision, is he lets a minister be exalted as high as he can possibly go and cover him up behind the scenes. Cover him where he is not walking with God so that he can expose him when he's at his prime in ministry and take him down. Why? Because Satan is not just after the pastor. He's after the church. Oh, yeah. And I've seen it. Me and my wife seen it time and time again. Remember the holy wars? And me and Sue sat and cried because the first thing that believers do is they start pointing the fingers. And I'll tell you, if you want to point the finger at somebody, point it at the devil. Because he's behind everything. And when a minister comes down and he becomes a trophy of the adversary, the only reason he does that is because behind the scenes, he's not praying. He's not studying that word. He's not into it, eating it, dissolving it. He's not doing something with his soul. He's not changing it and transforming it to think like God's. He can agree. Do you know a minister can agree with the Bible? That doesn't necessarily mean he does it. And Satan knows that. And so when the hidden things of darkness come to light in somebody whom we love and respect, the first thing we do is we take sides, and then we begin to take sides on the person that the accusations are made, but there's an element of truth always there anyway. Yeah. or wouldn't have surfaced. You can't play mind games with God. You've got to mean business with Him. Not only as me as a pastor, but you as a person who represents the name of Jesus, you got to mean business with God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and we're going to talk about these demonic spirits in this unseen realm for a minute. And the reason we are is because I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a very difficult time where humanity is. And it's getting to the point now that our own state don't know what to do with the homeless. They don't know how to provide for them without another side saying, if they can't provide for themselves, it's because they're lazy, they don't want to work, and they're full of drugs. And so you got these both sides in conflict. And we got the answer to mankind right here in our laps. And they mock it. And they don't realize that there is an unseen realm besides the natural realm. And that's the state, the government, our nation. They don't see this unseen realm. They're not associated with it. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But thank God the Word of God tells us about it. And in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, do we cast devils out of people? Yeah, we do. But that's not the answer to him being inoculated against Satan's kingdom, because Satan's kingdom will still bring an influence back to this man's life unless he knows how to shut the door so he can't enter back in. And notice how he listed them here. He listed them in the ranks from the greatest to the least in power. Number one, wicked spirits or spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the highest class that exists in the heavenlies on earth, on the earth. This is the highest form. Then the second one that he lists is the rulers of the darkness of this world. The highest class of demon believers we have to deal with on the earth. The highest class we have to deal with on the earth. And then the powers, that's the next class or category. They are dominated by and receive their instruction from the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then the fourth one, principalities, is the lowest class. And they are ruled over and dominated by the other classes and do very little thinking on their own. They're only given assignments to do it because they work amongst us. So we have principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of the world that exists in the first heaven. This is first. There are three heavens the Bible clarifies, three of them. The first heaven is around us. Second one is the atmosphere above the earth, the stars and the outer space area. John Cook's mother went through them. There are a band of wicked demons all around the earth. And when she went up to heaven, they opened up and let her through. Of course, then she came back. Matthew is the only one that uses the term the kingdom of the heavens, because the present day ministry of Jesus deals with all three realms. If the Bible uses the word heaven singular, then it could be referring to either one of these realms or the third heaven. But most of the time, Matthew used the term plural, the kingdom of the heavens, because the present day ministry of Jesus works with all three realms. Now, the three lower classes that we deal with is the first lower class, principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Now Jesus and his angels, they deal with the highest form. They deal with the highest form. And we find that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. And so whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, the heavenlies, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in the heaven, or the heavenlies. And Jesus, when he sat and spoke with Kenneth Hagin, he said that these first three realms, these lower class, that's where we have to learn how to deal with. And he's given us gifts and discernment and certain things where he can communicate with us so that we can discern these outlaws and how they operate and everything. But he said the highest form, he says we deal with that through the redemptive work of Christ. People say that Satan has the power, according to the book of Job, to go into the presence of God now and accuse us before him day and night. Nothing could be further from the truth, people. At that time, he had that access. He had access into the third heaven. He was granted permission to go in there. But he does not have that permission now. Why? Because Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? With us. You might not feel like you're seated there, but you are seated there in the mind of God. And so if Satan had access to the third heaven and he went in there, what in the world is he going to accuse you of? Because before he can even bring an accusation against you, he has to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ain't going to happen. Now, his lease is up, according to the book of Revelations. Michael, God calls on them, and they bring him down in the middle of that seven-year period of tribulation wrath. He brings him flat down to the ground. But before he does that, he exposes to the entire inhabitants of the earth who is really behind everything. And there's going to be people who have not gone with the church that are going to look up into heaven and they're going to see who the real culprit is. Because God is now going to reach mankind, not through their spirit. He's going to reach him through their eyeballs. So much so that they cry out, is there any place in the earth we can hide from him? The translators put, let the rocks kill us, but that's, the translator didn't understand what was being said. In the Greek it said, please find us a place we can hide from God. And they, can you imagine not receiving him and yet want to hide from him? Where do you think you're going to go? Well, come on over here. I got a back storage shed nobody ever gets into. You get in there and get down that corner there right where all the bugs are and everything. And you just stay there and he won't find you. Better to go now. Better to go with the church. And so these wicked spirits, what they do is they infiltrate us. And this is one thing that a lot of people don't understand is we get this glorification about delivering somebody of a demon. But really, when you look at things from that viewpoint, that is called ditz brain. Did you know that there's no such thing as a deliverance ministry? People say, I have a deliverance ministry. I cast out demons. Praise God, then I got one. What do you? You don't have a deliverance ministry. Yeah, I do. I cast out demons too. I just don't go looking for them in doorknobs like you guys do. I know. I went through that process when I was young. I went through the process of looking for demons in doorknobs. And I found one in the doorknob. No, not really. I found one coming out of the wall. My wife is my testimony. In our bedroom, I had this revelation that my brother Bobby has a demon. And that sucker came right out of the wall. I saw it come out of the wall in a trail of silk. Saw it. Sue's sitting up in the bed talking to me. And this silk wrapped around my throat and lifted me in the air. Demons can pick you up. And Sue, you can testify, right, Sue? I'm being lifted up in the air, and Sue got serious. Something is not working right here. What in the world? And she said, I plead the blood. Oh, let the blood of Jesus. I like the way she pleads the blood. She was pleading her case for me. And I was choking to death. I couldn't even say the name of Jesus. Jesus, that was a hard place to be in. They let go of me, and I hit that ground. And from that day forward, I said, I'm not looking for these guys no more. I'm not looking for them in anyone. I found one. We don't realize how important it is to understand where the real problem lies. And it is not just casting a devil out. It is important that we get a revelation of how he operates against us. How does he operate against us? How you think. If you think through your flesh concerning the kingdom of God, you're vulnerable. But if you think through the word of God and are able to rightly divide it because you got the Holy Spirit working in your heart, oh, now look out. Look out now. Because now you can be used as a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. In Galatians 5, 17 through 21 says, for the flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: demon spirits of adultery, demon spirits of fornication, demon spirits of uncleanness, and if we can cast any of these out, we're all free. Well, we know that's stupid. He says he didn't give the devil credit for any of it. He just said, now the works of the flesh. He didn't say the works of a demon spirit. He said the works of the flesh. If you give yourself over to your flesh, guess what? Satan ain't got a problem with you. When you start giving yourself over to your spirit, now we got another issue going on here. It is getting now so much so that I want the mind of God so much that God told me, he says, that's why Paul said, I'm going to show you a superior way, a more excellent way to think. He says, it's the love of God. If you start thinking like the love of God, you'll pinpoint the devil in your voice, in your decisions, in everything you say, and everything you do. You'll start pinpointing it because the love of God would not do a lot of things that we do. Oh, Jan, it's a hot day. You come and you're handing us this stuff. Yeah, it's the best thing that could ever happen. I don't like green lemonade. It means a lemonade that's tainted with the devil. I like to go home today and drink some nice, good lemonade. So that's why I'm giving you this message. I like what Kenneth Hagin said. What many folks call the works of the devil, the Bible calls the work of the flesh. In Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, Paul lists some of the traits of the old man. The flesh of man's unregenerate nature. You know what Satan's number one goal is? To get you to thinking in his direction so much that you get so messed up that it would be so difficult for you to get out of it. That's his number one goal. Have you ever looked at this plate of spaghetti? Anybody here have eaten spaghetti? Have they ever set a plate of spaghetti in front of you and you could count how many noodles were in it instantly? I got 475 noodles in this right here. 475. Really? How do you know? I just know. Not only that, I know how many ounces they put in there to make the cream. That's how sharp I am. The devil's the one that sets that spaghetti before you. Because when you look at it, you have no idea how many noodles are in that thing. And you don't know how in the world you could unravel all them noodles to where you could count them. And that's just the way the devil likes to do your life. He is what you call a confusion. He likes to get you into so many things, you're so confused, you don't know whether you're up or down. Why? Because he wants you to think like he thinks. Nutcase. Right? What happened? Somebody got a nutcase there? Actually, if you learn what the Bible says about putting off the old man concerning the former conversations, the lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants to put a different image on the inside of you so that he could eradicate your outside image. Why? So that when God calls you into the mission field, you won't bring a reproach to the kingdom of God. You'll succeed in what you're doing. So you won't end up his trophy. Colossians 3:12-14 said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on the love of God. Wouldn't it be nice if you found and discovered the love of God and then you could pinpoint people you could rightfully say, I don't have to love that one. Oh, I'll love that one. I won't love that one. No, the love of God requires that you love everybody. Even those who don't throw your tomatoes. Even those who despitefully use you. I had to learn that lesson. So you see, when you're dealing with demonic powers, people don't realize that it's not just an evil spirit that gets behind something. It's our own flesh. It's how we've been programmed by this world. Wouldn't it have been nice if you had been raised like John Cook? In church? And found the Word of God when he was 3 years old? And never violated it? Grew up as what he is today? He's shaking his head. No, that wasn't him. I'm sorry, that's what I thought. Anyway... No, none of us are that way. The problem is, when God declares how perfect I am, it gives me the right to see how imperfect you are. Aren't you glad you came today? So the point, Butler, the point, what are you trying to say? The point that I'm trying to get across is, why don't we humble ourselves before the Lord and begin to ask the Lord to deliver us from the way the devil thinks by renewing our mind? You know, wouldn't it have been nice if we came into the kingdom of God and nobody ever mentioned renewing of the mind and we could just carry on the way we wanted to and hope that we get to heaven? But that's not the way evangelism works in this realm. God's still in the business of saving people before he brings it to an end. Was you guys aware of that? We're here for the purpose of bringing someone else to the Lord. That's why God planted us here when we gave our lives to him. Now we have a calling on our life. The first calling in our life is not a ministry call. The first calling in our life is transformation. So that we start being a good witness or representative of Jesus, not falling apart like a cheap watch at every little thing that's been done wrong to us. Because you'll carry that over into the ministry. I'm going to tell you something about ministry, people. If you're looking for a full-time ministry, you better suck it up and get growed up. Because you're going to find a lot of weird people out there that are called Christians. And if they're motivated by the devil, they'll see to it you get out of ministry real quick like. How do I know this? I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I learned all about you guys. Yes, I have. You know what I learned about you? I'm responsible for you. Dang. So what does that mean? I can't use my pulpit to correct you, but I can use the pulpit to give you some information that you're responsible for. And if you walk out of here and you run smack into a Mack truck head on, don't you say, Pastor told me I could tackle a Mack truck. The devil's no one to fool with. He's no one to fool with. Matter of fact, I've even learned how he can operate against me. He can operate against me, getting me have so much confidence in my own righteousness, I can turn around and judge everybody else. And I've learned I can't do that. I have to learn what it means to be humble and do my best to get the mind of God for you. That's my calling. That's it. Other than that, it's all Holy Ghost. And we'll stop there. Did you get something? We'll stop there and we're going to continue on because I want to share some things about Lucifer and where he previously was and where he's fallen to. And we'll talk about the outcome of some things that are important to know and how important it is for us to be changed into the witness he expects us to be. Because every one of us, people, it's amazing how everyone takes their ministry and tries to encourage you to answer your ministry call. When really, that is not what my Bible teaches. It teaches everyone to be transformed or changed into the nature and character and image of God. Make that your number one goal. And out of that, God will call you. I don't know how many ministers I've seen step into the pulpit and bring a reproach to the kingdom of God because they were not transformed, changed in the way they think and the way they do things to qualify for them to love God's people unreservedly. Did you know over there in Peter where it talks about the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Do you know what the context there is? It's talking about leaders and attenders working together in harmony or creates anxiety within the body of Christ. And Satan goes to look for those that are in anxiety because the leaders are not leading, they're driving. Okay. It's time to go to pink or pure white lemonade. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people, and we're going to go ahead and close this service. And Father, I pray that as we continue on, we get a revelation of how important it is to grow in the love of God. Father, the love of God is so powerful, Father. It is so powerful that it'll overcome anything. Anything, Father. That is why it is so powerful. It'll overcome anything with anyone. It'll overcome any demon. It'll overcome anything, Father, that this world could throw at us. And so, Father, today, as we get ready now to dismiss this service, I pray that if there be anybody here that has never received Jesus and would like to, that, Father, he would have the freedom to come up and receive the Lord as his personal Savior. And then he could change from that which is natural to that which is supernatural. Hallelujah. So if there's anybody here that never has said the sinner prayer and want to receive Jesus, you can right now. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Stand up. Well, that's weird, Lord. I don't know who this is for, but God just spoke to me clearly. There's somebody here. I don't know if it's one person or I don't understand this. But the Lord wants me to quote a proverb that applies. People who are given to consistent change are never stabilized. So somebody out here, you're giving yourself to consistent change and you'll never stabilize. You need to be planted. Amen. I don't know whether that's in the house of God or whatever it is, you know. I can't say that because God didn't say it referred to the church. But I feel that it's your whole life. You are in constant change all the time and you don't really have an opportunity to get planted in anything. Matter of fact, Proverbs says stay away from that kind of a person. Because they'll make your life nomadic. You are not to be given to change. You are to stabilize your life. Whoever that is. Father, I thank you that healing belongs to your people. It is our bread from heaven. It is not confirmed by our natural being, but Father, it is demonstrated through the power of the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody here that needs prayer for healing, you can come forward. You can get healed if you desire to. Yep. Hallelujah. 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 If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, boy, we need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So having said that, come on up. Anybody? Feel free to come up. Is yours healing? Yes, healing. Praise God. Anyone else? Now's the time to come up. Hallelujah. There's somebody here that has stomach problems. Who is that? Who's got the stomach issues? Who's got the stomach issues? Is that you? Oh, that's why I was feeling it probably. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on up here. Hallelujah. Somebody here, you've been having a real issue with the stomach. Which one of you is that? The real issue, that's you. My gosh, why don't I get a revelation? Hallelujah. Well, I'm actually seeing your stomach. And I'm seeing some lesions there. They're going to disappear. Hallelujah. And your stomach issues are going to end. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh my, it was more serious than I thought. Hallelujah. Oh, God's going to take care of your stomach. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is all of you up here for stomach issues? You? No? You're up here for something else? Why are you laughing? This is a good service. Okay. Praise God. Are you guys ready? Are you ready for a healing? Is your stomach also? No? Oh, his cancer came back? Well, let's run it off again. Yes. Well, God will do it. And he'll get the glory. You guys start praying. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people, and may they have a victorious day in Jesus' name. Get out of here.